Please listen carefully.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. If this is your first time listening in, my name is Erica, and I am the creator behind Bring Your Own Kombucha, which is both a Instagram, a podcast, and a blog. I like to chat about all things health and wellness related, and then I also like to interview, some boss babes that I find inspiring. And actually, what inspired this episode is I have gotten so many questions regarding the design of my website. I get so many compliments, and I wish I could take credit for it, but I absolutely cannot. I have an amazing designer, Shari, and she is the owner of Little Blue Deer. She has a graphic design degree from Emory University, which, as you know, is a amazing school. She's based in South Florida, right outside of Miami, and she literally is the most amazing graphic designer I've ever met. Super talented, and she provides so many good tips for bloggers, for their website, for their Instagram. We talk about entrepreneurial life. And then we just kind of gossip a little bit as well. So this is a super fun episode, and I would love to hear your feedback if you enjoy me interviewing, boss babes, and not just health and wellness related topics. So definitely send me a message after you listen to this episode, and let's jump right in. I'm really excited for you guys to meet Shari. And before we jump into today's episode, I really want to give a great thank you to Pixel Eyewear. They are today's podcast episode sponsor. Let me tell you a little bit more about why you guys should check out Pixel Eyewear. Did you know, on the average, people spend 10 plus hours a day staring at digital screens? It's over 70 hours a week, 280 days a month, or over 3,300 hours in a year. That's absolutely insane. So it should honestly be no surprise that an estimated 70% of Americans experience an eye strain due to prolonged use of electronic devices. So what's the solution? Insert Pixel Eyewear Company. Basically, they've created eyeglasses that filter out 50% of the harsh blue light and up to 95% at the highest levels without distorting your color perception. The glasses also eliminate glare and alleviate strain in your eyes, as well as incorporating a nanotechnology coating that keeps your lenses clean and scratch-free. I have a pair at home and I absolutely love them. I use them when I'm vlogging, or I'll toss them in my computer bag and I'll bring them to work with me. And the frames are really light. I was actually talking to a friend yesterday who asked me if the frames were heavy, and I was like, no, they're very similar to regular eyeglass frames, and they're also super stylish. There's a variety of styles for you to choose from. So if you want to grab your own, make sure you head over to pixeleyewear.com, and you can use the promo code BYOK for a discount, and I'll leave all that information in the show notes. Okay, guys, let's jump right in. Hi, Shari, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Thank you, Erica. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on and finally speak to you and kind of in person over the phone.
Right.
So would you mind just giving us a brief background about yourself?
Sure, absolutely. So I am the owner of Little Blue Deer. It's littlebluedeerdesign.com. And I am a graphic and website designer. And I design blogs, websites, logos, branding, mainly for women. Actually, it's really funny, Erica, because I don't even work with men. I mean, I have a male client like every now and again, but this is a whole nother podcast topic, but I was just like, God, I never think about like the fact that I only work with women. Like I'm a woman and I pretty much communicate with women all day. And if it wasn't for my husband, I wouldn't have that much male interaction in my life. But anyway, so yeah, it was kind of a feminine aesthetic. And my background is I have a degree from Emory. That's where I went to college. And I was an English major, believe it or not. And it's so funny because my mom told me when I was in high school that I should go to art school. And I was like, no, I want to go to Emory, like, blah, blah, blah. And I wish I'd gone to art school because I am not classically trained. And now, I mean, you know how I hate to admit that my mom was right, but she was right.
They always are.
They always are. I know. It's crazy. But how I got started in this business is I worked in the tech industry for a pretty long time. I moved up to, I'm born and raised in Atlanta, and I moved up to Manhattan in 2000, like right during the tech boom and all the dot-coms and startups. So I worked in a bunch of different startups and picked up a whole lot along the way. And how my business... started out on Blogger. So I actually started out designing blogs on the Blogger platform, and it just grew from there. My business was totally organic. I certainly didn't go into it with a plan like, oh, I'm going to start my own graphic design company, which is actually a really cool thing because I feel like that's the way a really good business should be, is it should just start out kind of organically with an idea, and then if it goes, it goes, and if it doesn't, like move on to something else.
Absolutely. So. It really is. And it kind of just like proof that was what you're meant to be doing because it did just organically happen.
Mm-hmm. It really did. And I'm so grateful. I mean, I feel so, so blessed. And I feel like there was a spiritual hand in it too, because it's just a wonderful thing. And yeah, it just unfolded and kind of like a runaway train. It really, it still does get very overwhelming at times, and, it sort of went forth without any kind of business plan, anything like that. It just kind of kept going. So I made a lot of mistakes at the beginning that, you know, things I wish I had known, but I didn't. And now, you know, however many years later, 10 years later, I'm kind of over those.
So primarily, do you work with bloggers or do you work with business owners? Like, what is your typical client?
Generally, it's a mix. Like I said, I would say 95% women, which is awesome. And most of them are just personal bloggers. Either they already have a blog and they want to redesign, or they're new to blogging. Blogging is extremely popular. I mean, it's absolutely mushroomed since in the past 10 years, which I think is fantastic. Fantastic, because the cool thing about blogging is like everybody gets a space on the web. Like you don't need to be a business owner to have your own domain and your own site, and you can put what you want there. And I feel like a lot of people are really into it because they just want to express themselves, even if they don't care if anyone ever sees it. You know, they don't want to get famous. They just want a place to like post their content and talk about what interests them and kind of build a community with people of similar interests. So, and then I have also, yes, quite a few business owners. I have the hard thing about web design, what I've found and what I hope that I'm marrying with Little Blue Deer is either there are really awesome programmers out there, and they're usually men, I'm sad to say, but lady programmers are few and far between. And they're really good technically, but they have a horrible eye and a horrible aesthetic. And then there's, you know, artists, but they don't have a lot of technical knowledge. So I end up, because I kind of do marry the two, I'm a programmer to a degree and certainly a graphic artist. So I end up with a lot of interior design clients. I've always worked with interior designers because they need a functional website, but it needs to look good and attractive because they're designers too. So that's the other bulk of my business.
Oh, I can totally see that because all of your layouts are so beautiful and impeccable and they really flow. I can't tell you how many people reach out to me and they're like, how did you do your website? And I'm like, no, I did not design it. I definitely had somebody do it for me. And I always mention your name because you do incredible work. And I think the other thing that I really love about your business is that not only do you provide the service, but you provide the information. So for the audience listening, Shari actually has, your own blog yourself, and you tell people, how to use Bluehost, how to change things in WordPress. You give them all that information. And I find that so helpful. I mean, you could easily just like keep all that information to yourself and, want people to hire you to do everything. But you share that knowledge, which is so helpful.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, Erica. I really am. And it's funny because, first of all, yes, definitely. Like, I love sharing tutorials. I actually started making YouTube videos, and that was one of my suggestions that I was going to make because I do have a short list of just suggestions for bloggers, both old and new. But one is, YouTube is a Google peripheral property. So if you're so inclined to put videos on YouTube, it's also really good for your own site or blog. Which is actually why I started doing my YouTube tutorials was I have an SEO professional that does work for me, for my company, because I don't do it all, and I certainly don't do that. That's a whole different animal than design. But he suggested that I start making YouTube videos, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I'm definitely not. Oh, I did one beauty video. What the heck is that? Not the Naked Palette. I don't know. I did a contouring video like 2 years ago, and then it was just so stupid, and I was like, this is dumb. Like, all right, I'm not going to be a beauty blogger. And then I thought, wait a minute, like, WordPress tutorials. I can show people how to do stuff, just the basic stuff in WordPress. And yes, I do. I have a ton of tutorials on my site. There's a tab called WordPress tutorials, and I try to do them as frequently as I can, and I'm really glad that you like them and that they're helpful because I try to keep it really super clear. And the other thing, too, is that this is one kind of business mistake. It's not really a mistake, but it's just me here. And I have a few, like, programming contractors that I work with, but it's really just me. And my business has grown so much that sometimes I don't have the bandwidth to, like, help every single person that has any kind of questions. So I try, I would like to, but I just don't have it because there's only one me and there's only so many hours in the day. Oh, and I have a husband and two cats, and they require some attention too.
Just a little bit, right?
So I thought of it. Yeah, oh my gosh. Well, I don't have children. I don't have that. But these cats, they're Siamese cats and they're super demanding. And also they make those little cat meows that kind of sound like a baby crying sometimes. That's as close as I get. So I figured, well, I can at least like put these tutorials up. And I also have on my site some references for another couple of people who do specifically like WordPress maintenance. Like they're tech people and they, you can get a package that's like, I think $30, $35 a month and have someone always in the back end of your site, like able to answer questions. So I'm sort of starting to like do the tutorials and point people in the direction of like a technical contractor that can help them if they're really having difficulty. Because another thing too that people don't really understand about, and see someone like you, Erica, you're a great example of somebody who really takes a lot of initiative. You're clearly like very tech savvy, and we set up your blog and you ran with it. I mean, all the stuff that you're doing, like the Instagram, the podcast, that's what I hope people do. And you do need to have like a little bit of technical initiative. I think if you want to start a blog, like I think you should have some basic knowledge, which you have more than basic knowledge, but it's just that's kind of something to consider if there's someone out there that's thinking about starting a blog. Is like, you know, how comfortable am I just with basic tech stuff is kind of important.
Definitely. I love that tip. You kind of touched on your other tip before about starting a YouTube channel. Do you have any other tips for bloggers, since you deal with them so often, especially in regards to like their website?
Yeah. So I do have some. One is, you actually mentioned Bluehost, and hosting is really important. So people, and I have, of course, a tutorial on my blog that describes the difference between WordPress.com and WordPress.org, and I think you and I just talked about that not too long ago.
Yes, we did.
So there's WordPress. Yeah, and a lot of people start out on WordPress.com and they think they're on self-hosted WordPress, and I'm not going to go into the whole, all of the differences and everything, but for, we design on self-hosted WordPress or WordPress.org, which means that you need your own hosting, and you can get hosting through a number of different providers. And I love Bluehost. I'm an affiliate for Bluehost, and I honestly think they are the best, because I am in blog hosts all day long, and honestly I think GoDaddy is not the best. I'll be honest. But they have those commercials and everyone like is like, oh, but just in my experience, Bluehost is really good. You know, there's HostGator, there's 1&1, there's SiteGround, there's a million of them, WP Engine. But if you're new to blogging, maybe talk to your blog designer or someone technical before you get your hosting, but I do recommend Bluehost because it's just a solid host. It's very reasonably priced, and it's kind of like laying the foundation for your house. You know, like, you don't want to put it up on, well, I mean, I live in a condo, but I assume if you're building a home, you want to have nice concrete and not bad, cheap concrete.
No, and I totally agree with that tip, because I feel like this is what happens. At least this is what happened with me. You're like, I want to make a blog. So you do minimal research, and you're like, oh, I can make a blog on WordPress. And then you create a blog on WordPress.com. Now you're like, oh, crap, what do I do now? You know, I paid for it, and how do I make it look pretty? And then that's when you reach out to a website designer like you, and you're like, oh, man, I went about setting this up all wrong. You know, not all wrong, but not in the most efficient way. So I really like that tip.
No, totally. It would be like me walking into a courtroom. Like, you're an attorney, right?
Yes.
So it would be like me, you know, trying to write a legal brief, and I'd be like, okay, I Googled, you know, legal briefs, and here's mine.
Right, great.
Yeah. So I think the best thing people can do is like delegate, and also I would never act as my own attorney somewhere, Erica. same thing, like, let somebody else who's the expert do. But if your listeners are out there and they're thinking about starting a blog, I think hiring a blog designer, and it certainly does not have to be me, but just in general, like, hiring a blog designer is a good idea. It just helps you like get things started on the right foot as your brand. So that's always a consideration. And then another thing that I tell people too is that, especially if they get a blog design from me, and of course it's going to look awesome and it's beautiful and it's done, and then it's like, okay, I have this gorgeous blog, and why is no one coming to it? And so what I always want to tell people is that, like, blogging is reciprocal. And so kind of to get people to come to your blog, once it's done, you have to reach out and let those people know that you're there. So I always take myself as an example. When I started my blog, every day, and this is, I'm kind of an obsessive person a little bit, but I would comment on like 50 or 75 blogs a day. Like, I would, you know, just see what other blogs were similar to mine and kind of reach out and visit their posts and make comments. And a lot of times, like, those people come back to your blog, and you sort of build up a community. So I think that, I think blogging is about community, and I think that people should realize that, like, they need to reach out and engage with other bloggers, and that way people will come back to them. And also, I mean, I know you've made, like, you and I are friends now.
Yes.
You know, you make friends in blogging and Instagram, like IRL, believe it or not. So it kind of, you build up your site traffic and you meet cool people that are like-minded.
It's so funny that you say that, because we took a trip to California in June, and I ended up meeting up with like four other bloggers that I connected with, and I never would have been friends with them if it hadn't been for blogging. You're so right. Like, you build up this community and you actually make friends in real life.
You do. It's cool, which is especially in this day and age with everything digital is like super important.
Absolutely.
So, and another couple things, Pinterest is also very good for SEO. So I have some add-ons in my blog packages. One of them is a pin it button. It's just a little button that pops up over your images so people can pin them and you can pin them. So, you know, it's good to, when you make a blog post, pin it, but also just being active on Pinterest, not even with your own content, just having a Pinterest account and just pinning to different boards, other people's content. I cannot explain how that works, but I get a lot of traffic to my own site from Pinterest just from being on there and repinning. So don't neglect Pinterest. And I talked about YouTube. I think it's good if you are starting out blogging and you do get a blog design to get brand your social media too. And most blog designers have this option, you know, if you want like Facebook, YouTube, Twitter headers, Instagram profile, et cetera. Just to sort of, I mean, that's just a like branding 101, you know, is have brand consistency across all channels, because that way people recognize you. And if they see you on Instagram, they come to your blog, they're like, oh, you know, this is the same person, this is the same company. And Instagram too, of course, is super important, and I think more important than ever now. So I also think, and I know you have a lot, I know you have a lot of followers on Instagram and engage a lot on Instagram. And what I tell people who just have an Instagram account and they don't have a personal blog is you should get a personal blog. I am so big on that. And it's funny because my hairdresser is an influencer.
No way. How cool.
She is. Whatever. All hairdressers are beautiful. She's beautiful. She's like, they always look so good when they go to work. I don't know why. I've never been in a hair salon where like the people in there look sloppy. They all
go totally.
Like, to the nines every day, which is not me. but the thing is that we never know what Instagram is going to do. Like, your content is kind of the property of Instagram, and there could come a day for people who are, you know, being sponsored on Insta and all that kind of thing where Instagram says, guess what? We're not allowing sponsorship anymore. Guess what? You know, we're changing our algorithm. And so I feel like with your own blog or website that is associated with you, you own the hosting, you own the domain. Like, no matter what happens with any of the social media, you will also have your space on the web that no one can do anything to. And I just think it's important if you, you know, are trying to establish a social media presence to also have a basic web presence just as a backup for whatever happens with these companies.
Oh, totally. I agree. If Instagram closed up shop tomorrow, you don't want all of your hard work and goodwill to just be erased. You want to have a place where, you know, people can find you and find your content still.
Right. Right. Totally. So anyway, but I think that's really important. And a lot of people don't. And I just think, you know, it doesn't have to be anything super professional, nothing, just buy a domain, get hosting, and at least like get your space established if you need it.
Definitely. So I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about life as an entrepreneur. I think that a lot of people have this view of being an entrepreneur as like so glamorous, and you know, you work for yourself and you can just, you know, wake up whenever you want and yada, yada, yada. But the realities of being an entrepreneur are very different. And you actually do some really great things that I'm going to let you touch on first, and then I want to point some things out that you do that I really like, because I don't think people really understand the entrepreneurial lifestyle. Like, you don't get to sleep in. You work for yourself, so you have to wake up in the morning and things like that. So can you enlighten us on how you kind of navigate that?
Absolutely. I could write a book on how to navigate that. I could get a TED Talk. This is my TED Talk. It's happening right now. Yes, and you are so right, Erica. It is so hard to be an entrepreneur. It is so hard to be an entrepreneur. It is very difficult to work from home. And it is an absolute grind, and it is really super difficult. You're right. And I live in South Florida. I don't want to get out there in the traffic and like all the crazy. So I'm not complaining about it. But number one thing, you're right. I think that, and I can definitely speak as like a small business owner in a general way, but I can really particularly speak to working from home, which I will right now. So I think that, working from home, you have to have a lot of discipline. Like, I think there's some people that are not cut out to do it. And you're one of my pet peeves. I have two pet peeves. One is that my husband is like 20 years older than me, and everyone thinks, oh, not everyone. You know what? I perceive that people think that I'm a trophy wife. And I'm totally not, just because he's older. But I always want to be like, hold up. Like, we bought this car together. Like, we bought this condo together, you know?
Right.
But anyway, that's really here nor there. But people have this vision, you're right, that I sit around in my pajamas all day and watch Netflix and blah, blah, blah. So I'll just give you a snapshot of my day, which is that I wake up really early. I wake up usually at 5:30, and I try to be in bed asleep at 10:30, no later than that. So I don't like stay out all night. And when I get up, I used to immediately check email, and then it made me sick to my stomach. Like, it's so, that's the other thing about being an entrepreneur that's really hard. And there's probably some things I could do to take the burden off myself, but it is a very lonely business, you know, because the only other people out there really are your competitors, you know, so you can't, like, people that are doing the same thing as you do. And actually, I never feel competitive in this business because there is more than enough business for everybody. But, you know, we don't really, like, talk to each other. I don't get on the phone with them, or we don't talk about, like, oh, how's your year going? Or, you know, I have this difficult client, what should I do? So it's super duper stressful and isolating. So I used to get up and, like, look at my email and be like, okay, you know, like, what problems happened? What's going on? And that just made me kind of sick. So
that's definitely not a fun way to wake up.
No, it's not. And I mean, I think most people do it. Like, don't you look at your iPhone first when, I don't know, do you look at work emails when you first get up?
I used to, but now that I have Lizzie, I kind of just like to wake up with her, and I feed her, and I kind of try and have like this slow morning. But prior to Lizzie, absolutely. Right. I woke up, grabbed my phone, looked at all my emails, and then started my day. And it was just, it wasn't a good way to start. It just really wasn't.
It's terrible. It's really terrible. And I really think that's how most of America lives. And you have like a real job, like a job where there are, you know, real people's lives and consequences and all of those things at stake. I mean, it's, you know, it's stressful. It's just nobody totally needs to start off their day with like something so heavy. This is not heavy, what I do. Like, it's heavy to me because, of course, it's my business and my livelihood, but it's not like I'm, you know, a lawyer or a doctor. I can't even imagine like getting up and being like, unload here. I try to do like a little design warm up in the morning, like work on logos or fun stuff that I like working on. And then the other thing that I do, so a couple things I do that really help me with working from home is, number one, I exercise. I am a big runner, kind of an athlete, not really an athlete, but like I've always been a long distance runner. I really like running. So what I usually do is get up and do a couple of hours of work, and eventually when I feel up to it and I've had enough coffee, then I check my email and like look for this the shit show. yeah, whatever that might be. I mean, sometimes I have like, you know, 20 emails, 50 emails, whatever, here nor there. And it's all down to me to answer them. So by that point, I'm usually a little bit stressed out. So then I go for a run, and that's one real luxury of working from home is being able to go running, you know, at maybe 7 or 8 in the morning. I know it's really hard for people to commute. And I mean, of course, Erica, like people with kids to find time to exercise. I mean, it's almost impossible. So that's one of the pluses of working from home is I feel so grateful that I have the flexibility, to exercise. And that kind of clears my mind, and I do a lot of good thinking on my run. And then the other couple of things that I do is I always get fully dressed, put on makeup. I never go barefoot. I know some people just don't wear shoes in the house, but I do. It just makes me feel more, like, put together. So I always dress. I don't put on a suit or anything, but, like, I put on something decent, and I do my hair and my makeup because it just makes me feel more professional. And I just don't sit around in sweatpants. And I know that makes Karl Lagerfeld, God rest his soul, extremely happy. I do not. And then the other thing, too, is working from home. So I get out. I try to get out every night. I usually do, like, a little, like, spiritual kind of gathering or, you know, just I do like to cook, but sometimes grab dinner. Just something. Like, you can't stay in your house all day. You'll go crazy. And the other thing that I do is I shut my email down at, you know, maybe 5 or 6 at night, like a reasonable end to the day. And I do not, and I turn off email alerts on my phone. I shut all my browser windows on my phone. That's probably the hardest thing about working from home, especially for someone who's kind of obsessive like me, is just knowing when to stop, because I could go 24 hours a day and my husband wouldn't like it and, you know, I wouldn't be happy. So you have to come up with ways, like whatever those ways may be, if you work from home, to delineate between work and home time, because you don't, you have to make that space yourself because you can't just walk out of an office, you know?
100%. And now how do you stay focused during the day? Because I know when I used to, you know, study in law school, I had to go to the library. If I stayed home, I would turn on the TV. I would get up and get a snack. I would check my phone or Instagram. And I found it really hard to work from home. So how do you make it work?
Well, I mean, probably kind of like being in law. I mean, you have to, I know, because one of my very good girlfriends is actually in law school right now. And so I get the whole like law school lowdown. I mean, first of all, you have to, like, you just have, I mean, you know, you have to study, you have to do it. And I'm motivated, of course, like I think most entrepreneurs are by, you know, by money to an extent. I mean, it's just that it's my livelihood. So that's one thing. It's not sort of like, oh, la, 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 I'm just fooling around. It's like, okay, this is what I always tell people. I work really fast, and people that are worried that their job is going to take forever, you know, because a lot of web designers are terrible and slow and unreliable, but I'm always like, believe me, like, I want to finish as much as you do, you know, like, I want to get paid, I want to get your work done, I want you to be happy, you know, like, I want to keep this thing going, and actually my business is kind of a volume business, too, and that, I mean, just, and I hate, like, talking about money. It's really tacky and vulgar, but just, like, as a business model, you know, if you're a sole entrepreneur and you're selling products, like, the more products you can sell and turn over, then the better you're going to, you know, you're going to have. So that's certainly a motivating factor. It's kind of, like, no choice. I need complete silence. I don't even listen to music most of the time. And, I try to take a break. I think it said, what, like every 20 minutes, 25 minutes, you should just, like, pop up and, you know, I'll check Instagram or look at Facebook or whatever. But for the most part, it's just, I don't know, you're just in it. And I have a beautiful office. Actually, I don't even have an office, Erica. And I'll be honest with you, I use a MacBook. And I sit on the couch. I don't even have a desk. I do have an office, but I just sit on the love seat in the office. And then we have a beautiful view of Miami. So, like, and we're really lucky. I can see all of the Atlantic Ocean and all of Miami, and it's just gorgeous. I'll just look out the window and be like, okay, there's more to life than the blue deer. All right, that's a work.
So, oh, my gosh, that sounds dreamy. Like, absolutely dreamy. Perfect office view.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. We're fortunate. It's nice.
So I know you do one other thing that I want to point out to entrepreneurs. Whenever I email you, I always get an automated response because you don't check your emails, you know, when you're in the middle of a project. So can you just share that tip with everyone?
Oh, yeah. I actually just, that was something new that I started kind of experimentally back in January because, like everybody else, you know, in January, I do a little inventory, like what can I do this year to make my business better and also to make myself better and make my life less stressful and better, because no one does good work when they're stressed out. So I was looking around at different apps and that kind of thing, and I came across one that allows you, this one's called Zoomerang. I know there's a bunch of different ones. They're, Gmail extensions. And this one just allows you to, so I feel like I owe it to my clients, the clients who have current projects in progress, to be there for them during, of course, regular business hours, reasonable business hours. But, like, they're paying me for my time during this period of time. So I want them to be able to, of course, reach me immediately. And then I get tons of emails just of all kinds of things, people wanting something different, people having a question, et cetera. So I just installed this, this Boomerang extension. And so it just allows you. Email window, and it pops up with notifications that there's new emails, but it's almost impossible to like concentrate when you keep looking at your email to see what new emails are coming in, and then you pop over and look at them, and it's a time waster,
Oh, totally. That happens to me literally every day. I'll be working on a project, and then I, like, mindlessly just grab my phone, check my email, and then I fall into a rabbit hole, and then I'm like, wait a minute, I need to get this project done, or, I need to work on this.
Exactly.
So when I saw that email come through that you were like, we're in the middle of a project and you would be checking your emails later, I was like, wow, that's really genius, because that's just a great way to, politely respond to people who are reaching out, but also give priority to, your current client.
Right, exactly. And it really does, it is a brilliant invention. It really does relieve Boomerang, is what it's called. And I think there's a free version, and I think I got the paid version, but I don't think I know. It's really amazing the amount of mental stress that it takes off of you, and it really does allow you to focus. So, yeah, good little entrepreneur tip. I'm glad you brought that up.
So I have one more question in regards to, your entrepreneurial lifestyle. How do you stay inspired? Because your work is just so beautiful and, it's creative by nature. So how do you stay inspired, on the regular, since you are, doing designs day after day after day?
Right. This is going to sound weird. Well, you're a spiritual person.
Totally.
I feel like this is what I'm meant to be doing. I know that sounds crazy, but I feel like, this is going to sound really jerky and arrogant, and I don't mean it to sound like that either, because I really feel like God gave me a gift of being artistic and creative, and it's just I'm a horrible singer, the worst singer in the world. I wish I could sing. Sometimes I make deals with myself. I'm like, if I could sing, what would I give up? That's how much I love music, and I wish I could sing. But I can't sing. But, people that can sing, it's like they have a gift. And I feel like just my particular talent in life is being an artist. So it kind of comes naturally in that, I see inspiration all around me, and it's almost like something I can't turn off. We'll be driving down the highway, and I always know what font is on each billboard and each storefront and everything. And it's just like, oh my gosh, get out of my head. So some of it is that, and my favorite thing to do is design. It's like a hobby. I mean, on the weekends, I'll just fool around with logos and just for my own pleasure. So to be honest, I really do enjoy it. But I also, we're trying to get down to Miami. Miami's an awesome city, and there's all kinds of inspiration down here. I try to get, certainly travel is always good, but honestly, and I go to New York some, and then I look in the windows of the stores, and I look at the little, tags on clothing, whatever, everywhere, there's inspiration everywhere. Oh, and also, Pinterest stuff.
And you know what, now that you said that, next time you're in New York, we definitely need to get together. I'm a really short train ride away.
I know. It's funny because it's always so, when I get up there, I'm usually going for some reason or another, and I always feel bad because so many of my clients too, and friends, like just them. Well, I used to live in New York, so like of course I still have friends up there, and I'm always like, oh my God, so many people to see. But I agree. I would like that, and it would be nice to meet you in person because I was like, ooh, I hope this podcast isn't like a visual thing. I think podcasts are audio. I hope they are.
No, it totally isn't.
Right now. Okay, good. So yes, I'll actually be presentable then when we officially meet in person.
So fun. So where do you see Little Blue Deer in the future? Like, do you have any plans for expansion or going in a different direction, or do you just hope to continue to do what you're doing right now?
You know, I really, I probably will do more. I've actually noticed this year, the start of this year at least, has been a little bit slower than other years have been. And I'm wondering if that's because of, it seems like people, something with withholding taxes, I don't know. But I feel like this year maybe people have a little less disposable income at the beginning of the year. So I was thinking, well, what can I do to, you know, if people are generally having a little less disposable income, which of course the economy fluctuates, what can I do? So I think I'm going to do, I started doing some pre-made logos, and I'm considering, I don't know if I will or not, maybe doing some pre-made blog themes, or it would just be like, you know, you'd pick a theme and I would install it and all that sort of thing. So kind of a semi-custom thing. But I kind of hate to do that, though, because I feel like the thing that I do is I do what the client wants. Like, if you look at my portfolio, there's so much stuff and it's not all my style. But, you know, like a woman wanted a brick wall with footprints and pet paw prints and this whole, I mean, just like, you know, whatever is your vision, I really try hard to make it happen. So I kind of hate to move from the custom. But I might go into some pre-made stuff. And I really don't, you know, I have a certain dollar amount that I want and expect to make every year. And, like, of course, you always want to increase that. But I also don't want work to be my whole life. Like I said, my husband's a little bit older than me. So I really do try to, like, not work 12 hours a day and try to focus on, like, keeping Little Blue Deer at least at the point that it's at, but also just having, and I mean, I know it sounds cheesy and like everybody says it, but a little bit of a work-life balance, you know, and just, I don't have to be, nor do I want to be the empire of blogging.
You know, and I was I was going to say too, you need to keep in mind that if you grow it too big, then you will have to hire. So I guess that's also kind of a balance for you that you need to make sure that everything you have coming in is something that you can handle as a one woman show.
Right, exactly. And that's all I really want to be. And everybody, you know, basically I'm at the, well, 10 years later, I'm probably long past the point where if I really wanted to expand, I would need to hire a team and that kind of thing. And I really just, I don't want to. It's not that there's not good people out there. I haven't really felt the need, and I'm sort of okay with where things are. So also what I focus on is, you know, I try to pay attention to trends in WordPress, to new functionality, like cool new plugins that come. I definitely try to stay on top of graphic design trends. So instead of like expanding the business model, as it were, I just try to keep my design skills and, you know, technical skills on point so I can give everybody like the latest and greatest that they should have. And I also don't really want to raise my prices, and I don't think I will. I think I'm at, you know, people, and I'll just say this and then I'll shut up because I know that it's your evening, and I told you I was
talker. No, keep going.
but one thing that I try to do is, so there are a lot of influencers and, you know, I call them big girl bloggers, like the, you know, super famous ones. And people will come to me and say, oh, I want to cite like X, Y, and Z. And I always want to say, and sometimes I do say, that is a $10,000, maybe $20,000 website. Like,
no way.
You do not do that. And it's really hard because, and I'm always like, dude, when you go to Target, like, do you expect to get product at Target? No,
right.
Which doesn't mean that we're the target of web designers, but I try to offer something that's really comfortable, price range better than just like a, you know, $50 pre-made template, but not in the $10,000 kind of range for people. So I really, one other entrepreneur tip that I can add would be probably the key thing to business, the key thing and the thing that has caused me the most problems is managing expectations. And I mean, you know this, like everybody knows this, it's true in life. Managing expectations is probably one of the most important life skills a person can have.
And probably the most difficult.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
And the most difficult. I mean, if you have clients and you're like, okay, you know, like, we got this. Do not even worry. Like, you are so going to win this case. And then, you know, like, you go in and you guys lose. And they're really pissed. Whereas, like, they might not be that pissed if you're like, well, we may win, we may not. You know, right. Who knows? So I really try hard, and I think whatever it is that you're selling, be it like a product, a service, et cetera, be as clear as you can with your clients and customers about what it is that you're offering so that everybody's happy, because unhappiness results from unmet expectations. And so I really try hard to like offset those situations, even though they do still sometimes happen, by just being really clear that, you know, we're trying to offer something really nice at a reasonable price point, and in which case you think that you want, and that's okay. And you know, if you want to spend $10,000, like, that's awesome too. Like, I think that's wonderful. So
that's crazy. I had no idea that there are websites that cost like $10,000 or $20,000.
Oh yeah. Oh, outrage. I mean, not outrageous. But the thing is, there's a lot that goes into the back end of you know, blogs and website design, a lot of technical stuff, a lot of detail, and people just don't see it. And that's why I try to, like, nicely explain, because I don't expect people to know everything. But I always like to kind of gently point out that a lot of those are super duper expensive, which, of course, you know, like, if you're a big-time influencer or blogger, kind of, you know, celebrity, then, of course, you have $10,000. You know, we don't all have $10,000 to buy a website. So.
Now, where can everybody find you on Instagram, your website? Pimp yourself out.
Sure. Little Blue Deer is my username, my handle, whatever all the kids are saying. and littlebluedeer.com. Is my website. And yeah, I have, like I said, I have a lot of cool inspiration boards on there, tutorials and all kinds of stuff. And yeah, all the major social media channels, so you can just Google Little Blue Deer, you'll find me.
And I have one last question for you. And I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh my gosh, Erica, listen, I have never had kombucha in my life.
Goodness.
I have literally never had it. So you are going to have to tell me what flavor I should have.
Oh my goodness. Okay. When you come to New York, we are going to hang out and indulge in a glass of kombucha.
Okay. I trust you. I'll do whatever you say, because I know that you are the high priestess of kombucha.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I totally enjoyed chatting with you and sharing all your knowledge with everyone.
Awesome. Erica, thank you so much. This is my first podcast ever, and nothing else is going to live up to it. It's been a wonderful experience, and I really appreciate it.